Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, speaking to you from Midtown, Atlanta, Georgia, from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower, overlooking majestic Buckhead, where the sky is dark and ominous, which is very foreboding and reminds me of the purpose of what we're doing, which is to talk about what is foreboding in America. Very, very tough time right now. Very, very difficult. Bring on our first guest, my brother Richard. Dick, how are you today?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Long time no talk to you. How you been?
I'm doing good. We have a lot to talk about today, and there's some things that are very disturbing to me. But before we do, as always, I like to make mention of the debt that we're in, because it is by far the most crucial issue. We want to talk about the Middle East. And even tomorrow on my program that I usually give to recovery, I'm going to once again talk about political things. And the reason is simple. We're just not – I mean, I think it's a sad state of affairs when you have to look to, you know, just – little old guys like me, and there are a lot of us, you know, sitting around talking about what's happening because we cannot get the straight scoop from people. All right. Now, before we get to talking about what's happening in the Middle East, which is going to be the focus of our show, as you know, we went over the $16 trillion debt. Just while the Democratic National Convention was happening. Now, the word trillion has ceased to mean anything to people. It's just a number. Okay, well, you know, when Obama came in, we had 10 trillion. Now we've got 16 trillion. Well, that's just 6 trillion. But I'm going to ask you a question, and I haven't talked to you about this, and I just love to set you up, of course. All right, if you could spend a dollar a second, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, how long would it take you to spend $1 trillion? I want you to guess.
I will guess 27 years.
27 years.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would guess something like that. That's $1 a second would take you 27 years and you would spend $1 trillion. That's your guess.
That's my best guess.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, that is my final answer.
Okay.
Wrong.
And folks, I just want you to know that since I set him up and didn't tell him, of course, he's my younger brother, and I have done this to him his whole life. But let me just say this. It would take you 31,000 years.
Also, I was off by a few.
31,000 years. If you spent $1 a second every day without taking one break, $1 per second every day, it would take you 31,000 years.
Multiply that by 16, and you got what we have for a debt.
Yes.
Now, Jim, how much is 131,000 times 16?
Yeah, well, you know, that gets back into so many years that, you know, that it's even, you know, the most wild evolutionists don't go back that far in time for, you know, for the life of the Earth. But
yes.
That this is the kind of money that we are talking about, people can understand a dollar bill. And wouldn't you like to have the ability to spend a dollar a second for a week? That's a lot of money. But 31,000 years, a dollar a second, it would take you that long. That's how much money it is. And we're in debt more than 16 times that as a people. All right, that's tough. People can understand that. They can relate to it. Also, we are about to go over the 47 million mark for food stamp recipients. The actual unemployed is about to go over 23 million. And the debt clock just keeps ticking. And just by the way, the interest that we are paying on this debt to the Chinese funds more than 50% of their army right now. By the end of the Obama administration, if he is elected again, pray God that he isn't, we'll be paying for 80% to 100% of the Chinese army. How does that sound? Does that sound like the kind of future that when we were little kids that was what America was supposed to be? Is that what we talked about? That's not what I heard. All right. These things are concerning. Now, currently, we have another major concern, and that's the Middle East. And here we have the American ambassador murdered after he is gang raped. And this is all allegedly because of some film clip that some guy in California made and that's on the internet. I don't know. Have you had a chance to take a look at that little clip that's up on YouTube?
No, I haven't seen it, but I hear that it's rather revolting, to say the least.
It's not revolting at all. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
It looks like a Saturday Night Live skit. It doesn't look real.
I mean,
the
content of it is revolting.
Well, I mean, you know what? It certainly, if you look at it, if any reasonable person would look at that, they'd say, what is the big deal about it? But
yeah.
The Obama administration has said this is what caused this flare-up throughout the Middle East and caused the death of the ambassador. And yet, and all of the liberal bloggers and the news media, the mainstream news media, is backing this. You know where it isn't being backed? In Europe and in the Middle East. The responsibility for this is a major attack, and we were warned numerous times, including 3 days before it happened.
Yes.
Now,
it wasn't at all planned around 9/11.
Well, you know, here's the thing: when that Muslim imam wanted to build a mosque there at Ground Zero, In New York City, and there was all of the hubbub about that. Here's the thing. Whenever Muslims have a military victory, they plant a mosque. That's their deal. they consider 9/11 to be a victory over the great Satan.
So a mosque is like a stamp of approval.
Yeah, it's a visible thing of what they have accomplished. So just by them wanting to do that is a terrible affront to us. But no, do you hear people say this? I don't hear people say this.
No.
But it is true. All right. Muslims consider 9/11 to be a great victory. Therefore, is it surprising that they would make an attack on 9/11? If you had the sense you were born with and knew the way that their minds were, wouldn't you be on alert, high alert, all over the world on 9/11, particularly on 9/11?
Particularly in the Middle East.
And particularly in the Middle East. Now, I'll grant you that a lot of the people subsequent to this are, they get their panties in a wad because of this this little film clip, but we have given this credibility. Why do you think that there's such credibility given to this?
You mean the film clip? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Other than taking away from the reality of it actually being brought on by 9/11.
Or that, that Obama was asleep and the administration is culpable because they didn't do their homework. And of course, it's really, saying, well, they didn't do their homework, considering that Barack Obama misses more than half, actually 60% of his national security briefing. And, it just wasn't something that was important enough. It was far more important, to go to Vegas and have a fundraiser rather than stay and address the American people about the crisis. When he was interviewed about it, about Egypt, because, it is spilled over majorly in Cairo, they asked, was Egypt an ally? And he said, Egypt is not an ally, but they're not an enemy either. They're kind of in between. I think that was a really candid statement on his part. That's what he believed. Now, that isn't U.S. foreign policy, but he doesn't know that. And why doesn't he know that?
He hasn't been in any of the briefings to know.
He hasn't been in any of the briefings to know. All right, listen, I've got somebody else here. Hold on, and let me just say hello to them. This is Jack Watts. You're on the air.
Yes, hello? Sir. How you doing today? Yes.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead. This is Jack Watts. You're on the air. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to just push back a little bit on your the Republican talking points of Obama missing in action from work, starting to hear this theme now of him not being there for intelligence briefings when it's been it's public record, and it's publicly known that presidents gets briefings via iPad. This is nothing new. All presidents are not at the intelligence briefings. I don't know why you guys are trying to shuffle the deck now when it comes to Obama.
Well, number one, I'm not a Republican.
Okay.
I'm just a patriot.
Still Republican talking points.
I don't have a talking point. This is just something that he has missed these many. It's public record. And here's the thing. Let me just ask you this. And the whole Middle East is ablaze right now, and what is your thought about this? 9/11 is a big deal in the Islamic world, and it would seem to me that any leader of our nation in that in this particular situation would take great care to be prepared. And obviously, I think anybody would have to admit that we weren't prepared for what happened. If the ambassador is captured and raped and murdered, you got to say that something's wrong and that something didn't do well for our, for America. And we're all Americans. I mean, would you agree with that?
Well, I would agree with your last point that the killing of the ambassador and that whole situation, that is an American tragedy. I would agree with that.
It is an American, absolutely. And
yes.
We're all Americans.
Okay.
And here's
yes,
the deal.
Sir. So I agree with that.
Here's the deal. I'm conservative, and you're probably not, but we're in this boat together. And if it sinks, we're both going down. So we got to find a way to talk about these things and come to some things that is going to help our nation. And my thought is this. They're talking about this. The U.S. U.N. ambassador went on all of these shows yesterday and talked about how it was this guy's video clip, that was the instigator of it, and yet this was in all of the European newspapers and TV shows and in the Middle East. They are clear that this was a systematic attack and that it was an attack probably by either Al-Qaeda or a group sympathetic to Al-Qaeda. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess I don't have a lot more of information than you. I too am under the impression, but I of what you just said. One, about the attack being more systematic and not just this sporadic act that you see in the other places now that is happening at the other embassies. I do think these are two separate issues. All right, the actual assassination of the ambassador and these brick-throwing and rock-throwing protests.
Yeah. Did you go on YouTube and take a look at this little clip by any chance?
No, I never did take a look at the and I'm of this mind here. We in America, we can put whatever we want to put on the damn Internet. And that has that don't give them no right to start messing with our property over there. So I'm of that mind. So what we put that it's insensitive.
Well, you and I are on
right?
the same page with that one,
okay.
My friend. By the way, you didn't say
That's
your
right.
name. What is your first name?
Maurice. Yeah.
Well, Maurice. Yeah, yeah. People don't have any right to the an embassy is the crown of the United States of America. For them to breach that is the same thing as them coming to Atlanta, Georgia, or New York City, or Miami. And
yeah.
that, in and of it, I mean, that's big-time bad news. And what's worse, I mean, now, I'll grant you that this little, but by the way, I did look at it, and all this repulsive reprimand, It looked silly. It looked like a Saturday Night Live skit to me, and
yeah.
I cannot imagine that something like that would cause this kind of trouble. But
now,
the attack itself was planned. But a lot of the rest of this and all of these mobs are definitely being. A contributing force. It was like a perfect storm where you had two things come at the same time.
Right, right. Now, the other thing is, and you're absolutely right, I was just looking at, a lot of these guys out here, man, like if you look at CNN and stuff like that, a lot of these guys run around barefooted, throwing rocks, little kids, and grinning when the police start chasing them. You got to understand that a lot of that, those guys probably couldn't even spell America. Couldn't show you where America is on the map. Don't know nothing about foreign policy.
I know. They're offended that a Koran's burned and they don't know how to read.
Right. That's right. So, you know, it's almost like everybody running to a good fight. You know, hey, and you're standing
next
to a rock, so they pick up one and throw it too. But let me get back to the main point, man, because it did seem like you were trying to tie Obama some kind of way. I guess that's the only issue that I'm taking is that there seems to be this systematic effort to some kind of way weave Obama's inaction or action into, he's the main ingredient to this cake. And I just, you guys got to quit it, man. You can't keep doing that.
Well, I think that your point, I think it has some merit. I think that there are a lot of people, including me, who do believe that he should have done some things differently. You know, we shouldn't have had 9/11 to begin with. I mean, a lot of it. But now we're in this really tough spot with Muslims all over the world, and it isn't just that there's, you know, that this has happened in Cairo and in Libya. I mean, this is in the Western Sahara, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Nigeria, Kenya, Somalia, Yemen, Iran, Iraq, Turkestan, in Italy, in the United Kingdom, in the Netherlands, in Indonesia, in several places in India, in Pakistan. This thing is all over the place, and it's too bad that now I'm going to be perfectly honest with you here, Maurice. I think that Barack Obama getting on that plane and going to Vegas when all this stuff was happening was a big mistake, because it gives the appearance that he's more interested in the fun stuff of being president and in the fundraising. And, it's, you know, even if it is, especially when it's going to Vegas. But,
I don't disagree with you there. I can see that. I wouldn't disagree with you. It's almost like you said, you know, when something happens, they postpone political talk for a while. And I do think that, yeah, this is serious. And I think it is serious enough to where he could, you know, pull back a little bit on the campaigning, even if there's nothing he personally can do about this issue, which I don't think is nothing personally he can. It's almost like it's a fire that it's got to politically burn itself out at this point. I don't think there's, unless you tell them to line up Marines and start mowing them down.
It has the appearance that, you know, that it has a bad appearance, and I'm glad we agree with that. And interestingly enough, after Hillary Clinton spoke those words when the bodies were brought back, she went to a Muslim party celebrating the end of Ramadan. And, you know, there's pictures of her dancing, and they're all over the internet on the night when this happens. There's another example of something that just was almost, it's like it's in our face. And we're Americans, and you and I are both Americans, my friend. And that's in the face of both of us. And this isn't Republican. This is just patriotic stuff. And it doesn't sit well with guys that are patriots, period.
No, it doesn't. I agree with you there, man, because there's a better politically way to, you know, her being a diplomat, you know, know, so you want to make it appear like, you know, we understand that this is not the entire Muslim world who's doing this. So we do want to give the appearance that, hey, we're still connected in some way. But you don't necessarily have to go to no party and be shaking your butt and stuff. You don't have to do it like that. Yeah, I agree with you there too, man.
Yeah. Maurice, listen, I got to get back to the rest of it.
Okay.
Wait, now tell me where you are. What, you know, I see your area code's 269. Where is that?
Yeah, it's in the up near the Grand Rapids area in Michigan.
You're in Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's something I'm going to ask you. Is Michigan going to vote for Obama or for Romney?
I don't know, man. Hey, man, this stuff is so, a situation where it could go either way. I mean, you just don't know, man. I really don't know. One week they say Romney back ahead, and then one week they say, you know, Obama's back ahead. So I really don't know, man.
All right. Well, listen, Maurice, you feel free to call in anytime that you want to. You're a gentleman, and I appreciate it.
Okay, bud. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Richard, are you there?
Yes, John.
Well, did you hear Maurice? What a nice guy. I'm really glad that he called in, and I'm, you know, delighted that we had.
I just feel bad that he thought that this was a Republican-based discussion, and I think at the end he realized it's not Republican or Democrat or anything. It's one
patriot
talking about another.
And I think that that's a big distinction. People ask me all the time, well, you're Republican. I'm not. And I'm
Nor
not
am I. I'm a registered independent, and I have been.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is our nation is in trouble. We're in financial trouble, bad financial trouble. We haven't had a budget in 4 years. We cannot continue to spend money that we don't have. And when we're talking billions and we, you know, finally can put it to something like, what is a billion? It's, well, oh my goodness. It's spending a dollar every second of every day of every year for 31,000 years. That's how long it would take to spend
a trillion dollars.
I said trillion. I meant trillion.
Yeah,
you know, this is debt that is huge. I want to see Romney come out with specifics. Hard specific of exactly what he's going to do, while at the same time, you know, President Obama, I mean, his way of cutting things is cutting the military, and the Middle East is ablaze. We can't cut the military now. He wants to dismantle much of the nuclear weapons that we have. We can't do that. We've got to take care of ourselves. And we're in this together, all of us, and this is our nation. And when we were born and raised, we had a responsibility from those that went before us to keep us sound. And we have to do it. We have no alternative, and we have a responsibility to the people in the future to do so. That's. Do you have anything? We're just about out of time. I want to thank you for, you know, for participating, and Maurice, thank you for calling in. And here we are. This is Jack Watts, and hopefully, things are going to change for the better. But we must be vigilant. And I want to thank you so much. And for all of us, we want to say God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Good night.